Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com for the conclusion of this special study that we have titled Anti-Biblical Resources of Prophecy Teachers. In part one, we left off with a video clip that has become all too familiar and too common among prophecy teachers, where they present prophecies given by sources outside of the Bible and give the impression that these either confirm or are even equally legitimate next to Scripture. That may or may not be their intent, but that doesn't matter. The reality is, such a presentation is deceptive. And I believe Satan is using the professing Christian media, whether it's on Christian TV, on YouTube, or sold in Christian bookstores or found in Christian websites, to pull people away from their faith in the King James Bible. Satan uses the Vatican versions, the claims of so-called scholars and college professors, as well as what is found on Christian TV programming and literature, to place seeds of doubt in the mind of the Christian. Then, with such doubt already sweeping through the Christian culture, you then have all sorts of extra-biblical sources, many of which are occult and New Age sources themselves, thrown into the arena and presented with an air of authority. Well, don't be fooled. Watch or listen to this study in its entirety and then share the information with your loved ones. We also want to invite you to write to us at Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And you can also send an email by going to our website, bbfohio.com, and you can use the Contact Us button, or you can send that email directly at bbfohio@yahoo.com. So now let's join part two and conclude our study, and we'll join the study titled Anti-Biblical Resources of Prophecy Teachers in Progress. And I want to show you this, that the doctrine, the idea that the Islamic Mahdi is the Antichrist, and by the way, we're going to get into this more in next month, but that doctrine didn't start with the Bible. And you're going to see it starts with the writings of Islam. And from there, then they built this doctrine.
Okay, the description from the Muslim holy books of their Messiah is a mirror image of the Christian description of the Antichrist. Why do you say that?
Absolutely. Everything about the Islamic Messiah, Islam is not void for Messianism, by the way. They have what is called the Mahdi. The Mahdi, by the way, is a Messiah to both Sunni and Shia. All Muslims must believe in this coming Messiah. And everything in the Bible that talks about what is called the Antichrist is there in Islam about the Islamic Messiah. If Daniel talked about the Antichrist making a 7-year covenant, Islam taught about the Mahdi creating 7 years of peace. If it talks about saw the martyrs that were beheaded or Israel being invaded by the Antichrist, Islam taught how the Mahdi will even unify Turkey and Iran to advance against Israel. Let's see, Gog and Magog rings a bell here.
That's true. But it's not the Antichrist.
If it talks about the Trinity in the Bible, Islam says that the Mahdi will come and denounce the Trinity, that they will come and they will destroy the cross. They will break the cross. From everything in Daniel, Revelation, you can think of the rider of the white horse in the book of Revelation. By the way, Muslims take pride about what's in Revelation regarding the rider of the white horse. That's the Mahdi. That's Imam Mahdi to the Shia. That's the Mahdi of the Sunnis as well. So in every aspect in the Bible, when you read Antichrist or the man of sin, and you look at the definition of the man of sin, it is in Islam.
Listen, you...
You realize the implications of these claims they just made? They are referring to Islamic sources as authoritative and treating them like they are a trustworthy source of prophecy. They are saying that the Islamic writings are going to be fulfilled as true prophecy. Folks, that's blasphemous. Islamic writings are from the devil.
Amen.
And they're not right. First of all, that I mentioned the Mahdi, they claim will have 7 years of peace. We know the Bible says they'll say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. So there's a false prophecy right there.
Amen.
And we're going to go in detail in our next studies in June when we're going point by point on these things and show that this Islamic Mahdi Antichrist nonsense
is just a fad to sell you books and videos. That's all it is. But the sources they're using seem endless. And I'm not going to take all night, but I'm going to show you a few of them. Here's a quick overview of the other sources making their way into prophecy studies today. Now, tune in, folks, and listen. Take notes. Whatever you need to do, because as you listen to other people and they cite these sources, that tells you off.
Amen.
Right there. And you've been warned. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
I'm here. That's what I'm here for, folks. Pastor is supposed to be a shepherd, and I'm warning you, look out for the cliff. The book of Enoch, how many of you heard that quoted? Prophecy teachers are using it like crazy. It's sold as one of the quote-unquote lost books of the Bible. Folks, there are no lost books of the Bible.
Amen.
There are rejected books of the Bible.
Amen.
They're not lost. We've known about them all along. They're garbage.
Amen.
The book of Enoch is actually several short works. They were written no later than the 4th century B.C., which is when God went silent.
Amen.
Amen. And as recent as the 4th century A.D. by, here's the key, people pretending to be Enoch.
Wow.
Just think about that. They weren't Enoch. Folks, if Enoch had written a book, the only way it could survive to this point is if Noah had a copy on the ark. And we have no biblical reference to the book of Enoch being on Noah's ark.
Amen.
No one ever mentioned it. And then all of a sudden, when God goes silent, suddenly, that's the same thing with the new versions. King James Bible's turning the world upside down, and all of a sudden, God's given us a better Bible. Throw that King James away for the oldest and best manuscripts. Blah, blah, blah. All lies.
Amen.
All lies. So in other words, it was written by a bunch of liars with no divine authority for what they wrote.
Amen.
Doesn't that make you want to buy one? And why would this be used by Christians as an authority? It's insane. And they are selling like hotcakes. I get email all the time. People say, hey man, you read that book of Enoch? I write back and said, yeah, it makes good fire kindling.
Amen.
How many heard of this guy?
Amen.
Hey, he's cited as a source in Bible prophecy material.
Yes, sir.
He's the son of a Jewish Catholic convert. He went from bad to worse.
Right.
And he used divination. He used to take a bowl of water and stare at it. If he were a modern Catholic, he'd see a cornflake and say, Mary. And he would conjure up visions, and he wrote in these cryptic quatrains to avoid persecution and prosecution by the Roman Church for witchcraft. And so you read Nostradamus' stuff, it's very cryptic, and so they go in there and they see a reference to Hitler, and they say, oh, it's Hitler. And then they see, that's how they play the game. It's a game. It's like a cryptic little puzzle that people try to use to, they claim they found JFK's assassination, all kinds of things in there. Well, just on a personal note, the pastor who introduced me to Nostradamus fell into rank heresy, left his wife for another woman, and quit the ministry.
Wow.
Now, obviously, not all who quote Nostradamus are going to do this.
Amen.
But, the reason I mention that is because I've seen this repeatedly through the years.
Wow.
I've seen these guys, once they get into Nostradamus, folks, they just open themselves up to the occult. They just open themselves up to devils.
Yeah.
And they get into that stuff and they put the Bible off to the side and they spend all their time reading Nostradamus and watching the documentary. Now, I've watched the documentaries, but I did a little bit at a time comparing to Scripture and seeing what was wrong with it.
Yeah,
but you better be very careful when that stuff becomes your interest. Mess with the book and God will mess with your mind.
Amen.
That should be a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now look, here's another source. How many heard of the Apocrypha?
Yeah.
Alright, I got to say this. Luther started putting the Apocrypha in between the Old and New Testament in the German Bible because he wanted people to understand it was not Scripture. and that it was good for historic reasons, but it wasn't inspired scripture. The King James translators followed the same suit by request of King James, who, by the way, wrote a paper denouncing the Apocrypha as non-inspired.
Amen.
And yet people will lie to you today and say the King James Bible had the Apocrypha in it. Not as scripture. And a lot of your Bibles have something else, the intertestamental or something like that, connecting the old and the new and telling you, you know, the 400 years of silence and all that. That's the purpose the Apocrypha served, none other.
They have maps on that too.
And yet, like the book of Enoch, these are not inspired of God. Most are written by imposters and all contain contradiction of scripture and known history with no God-given prophecies in them. And yet, I have people, they'll quote Esdras. You ever heard of the book of Esdras? And,
yeah.
And the Song of Daniel and all these. And they'll pretend that it's God's word.
Isn't there a book of Jude? Or is that something else?
No, you're thinking of the Gospel of Judas.
Sorry,
yeah. That's another one of those lost books.
Yeah.
How many of you heard of this guy? The prophet Malachi.
Okay, I think I've heard of
Saint Malachi. There's guys like Tom Horn and others who have used his prophecies to claim. Well, let me read this the way I wrote it. A Roman Catholic archbishop who, it is claimed, in the 12th century predicted Francis would be the last pope. Now, he didn't name him, but it was by predicting a certain number of popes to come. So, if Francis is succeeded by another pope, will this nonsense end?
No.
I doubt it. There's too much money in it.
Amen.
But if Francis dies or goes into hiding like Benedict and they replace him, I've already figured out what they're going to say. Benedict didn't count because he didn't die. You watch. You watch. Yeah. See, I have a criminal mind. But I use my powers for good. But if I were one of those crooks and I wanted to sell books, and Francis is replaced by another pope, I'd say, whoa, time out. We have a penalty on the field. Benedict doesn't count. Play over. Francis is not the last pope. This next one is. And they'll sell more books. And there'll be more suckers out there buying them. Amen. That's right. Just a couple more and we're going to close it up. The Egyptian pyramids. Did you know they are used in prophecy? Teaching? Yeah. It comes with a little chart like this where you count the steps and it's supposed to be the years. Problem is, the Jehovah's Witnesses counted and they came up with 1914. So if you look in their materials, they predicted the return of Jesus in 1914. That failed. So then they were like, I think they counted and they said, oh, you have to go up this way and then back this way. And then it comes up to 1979.
Wow.
So Ronald Reagan should have never been president. But they still work these things to make them work out so that they can sell books. But it's just divination and occultism in another form. That's all it is. And one more, I have to mention this, dreams and visions. How many of you heard of Perry Stone?
Oh, he's that night court judge.
No, that's Perry Mason. Perry Stone sounds like you're getting chewed out by your grandma. And that's how he thought, oh, you better help me right now. That's how Perry Stone sounds.
Wow.
And that Tracy came in, she thought Perry Stone was in the house.
Sounds like Ross Perot.
Perry Stone's dad was a preacher who claimed that his call to the ministry came from the ghost of his friend named Al.
Wow.
I am not making that up. I've got video to prove it.
Joy to have you with me today on Manifest, but it's even a greater joy to have for a second program, my father, Fred Stone. Now, this is an 8-week series that we have been running in which we've been talking about the supernatural things of God, especially angels, angelic protection, and this type of subject matter. Dad, it's good to have you with me again today. I want you to know that. And what happened when you were called to preach? Now, I want to go to that.
When I was there at this little cabin, Barry, that I had, me and my dad had built, Dad had helped me in West Virginia, up in a lease area, mm-hmm. for Iron Creek Coal Company, and I was up there praying and seeking the face of God. And Al Collins, while I was praying, I heard footsteps. It was in the fall, and there was leaves about 4, 5, 6 inches high. And I heard 2 or 3 steps behind the cabin. I'm sitting just like I am now. Mm-hmm. And I turned and looked around and bent my head like this. And before I could see anybody, a hand reached through the right hand of a man, reached through the side of the cabin, and touched me on the head. And I thought it was an angel of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But actually, spirit mm-hmm. man of Al Collins had touched me, you know what I mean, and spoke to me about what God wanted me to know, and that the Lord wanted me to know this and that and the other. And of course, I was so overcome by the Spirit that it probably took me an hour after this experience for it to just kind of wear off. You know, Perry, supernatural experiences with God usually stay with people forever. Mm-hmm. They stay with you all your life. Now, they're not as fresh and they're not as great upon your spirit man as they were for the first 2 or 3 years or something, mm-hmm. but they'll be there forever.
I remember when you told, I mean, I've heard you tell that for years about how that you actually, when that hand touched you, you collapsed and thought you had a heart attack and came out of your body.
Yeah.
Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 12, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And so there are experiences where it's either a vision or it actually is happening. Mm-hmm. And you went out like being sucked out into the universe somewhere where you ended up, where it was a beautiful sapphire blue. And you described what happened there. You said that you saw a ball of light that looked like the size of a silver dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And Al stepped out of that and pointed his finger at you, right?
It was moving, Perry. It was so far in the universe I couldn't estimate how far it was. And it was moving with the speed of just like a lightning bolt. It was coming toward me so fast. But when it got to from the size of my fist to the size of a person, but it was a ball of fire. Mm. A ball of light would be better, light and fire. Mm-hmm. And when it got so far from me, it just stopped moving, and the light just vanished, and there stood Al Collins.
And this is the friend that had passed away. You're out in the universe somewhere.
Yeah.
Though. I mean, way out on the edge of eternity.
And when he spoke his the communication, when he put his right hand out toward me, God let him speak to me.
And he said what?
Let him speak. That's when he said, and he didn't waste any time, Perry.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I wanted to ask him questions, what it was like. Al, what was it like to die? Mm-hmm. What was this and that? That's what was on my mind.
Right, right.
Because we were such good friends.
Right.
But I wasn't permitted to do that. He looked at me and he put his hand out and he said, Fred,
praise God.
God has sent me. God has sent me to tell you. Excuse me, Barry.
It's all right.
God has sent me to tell you.
Praise God.
That you're called to preach.
Jesus.
That he's called you to preach.
Jesus.
And you must preach. You must go and you must preach and you must obey me. Mm. And when he said that, the power of God came on me, Perry, and I couldn't answer him. I couldn't do nothing but just tremble. Mm. I just shook under the power of God.
And then you came back to yourself in that cabin.
And you know, he left one time. He started to leave.
Uh-huh.
And then something stopped him and told him he wasn't finished. And he turned around and said it the second time. Said the same thing.
Wow.
And then his dad transferred his ministry onto Perry. And it looks, you can tell by looking. So typically, this comes from what we'd call charismatic prophecy teachers. And strangely, even when their dreams and visions fail, they come up with new ones to sell their books and DVDs. So real quick, are you keeping track? In addition to the Bible, if you want to be a good prophecy student, you need to have Eastern sources. You need the ancient Jewish sources. You need the church fathers. You need the originals. Good luck with that. You need Islamic sources. You need the Book of Enoch. You need Nostradamus. You need the Apocrypha. You need the prophecies of St. Malachi. You need dreams and visions and other things that we don't have time for tonight. And all these materials are being used to come up with prophecy teachings. What do we say to all of that? All blocks. Amen. Forget it. Question, will we be Bible believers and stick to the Bible alone?
Amen.
Or will we resort to fallible human sources for information on prophecy? Romans 3:4 answers the question, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar.
Amen.
Read that with me. God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Going back to that judgment, just what we started with. In light of the return of Jesus Christ, we will stick to the book, the authorized King James Bible, the only one we use, the only one we believe. Now, you might recall 2 Timothy 2:15. Remember that? Read it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But do you recall the most famous... I'm sorry. 2 Timothy... Look at verse 16. Do you remember verse 16? Read that. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And that's what all these sources are. They are profane, meaning they're not from God. And they're vain babblings. This is what well-known prophecy ministries are quickly becoming. Vain babblers promoting fables. So stick to the book.
Amen.
The authorized King James Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everyone here tonight that heard this message and all those who are going to hear it on the radio and on the internet and around the world, Lord, that they'll get the message out, that they need to turn men off when men turn away from your book.
Amen.
And we're not out just to make everybody think Greg Miller's something. We want everybody to think the King James Bible is something.
Amen.
We want everybody to love that book and understand you have given us your word. Your Holy Spirit is the author and he is the teacher. And we don't need men. We need you. We need your word.
Amen.
We don't need the writings of men. We don't need the church fathers or any of these man-made sources.
Amen.
Father, I'm so thankful. I can sit down with you just one-on-one with your word anytime I want to. I can commune with you all by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see me as your son. Everyone in this room shares that same relationship with a loving, holy, wonderful, heavenly Father. And Jesus has saved us. And we are now your children. We have your word. We have your spirit. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. We give you all praise, honor, and glory. And pray all these things, asking that you be with us tonight as everyone travels home. And especially again with the Ledfords through the weekend and their travel home. Bless their time here with us.
Amen.
We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Tears forever flow.
You say, well, you don't know a person's heart. No, but I can hear what they're saying.
For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12:37.
I had a lady approach me just this weekend. And immediately I could pick up on it. There's something wrong with this. She complimented the video. Remember the lady in the book of Acts that went in front of Paul saying, oh, here come the man with the message of salvation from the Lord. And instead of Paul saying, hey, I want to hire you as my praise team leader. No, Paul looked and said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And a demon came out of her.
The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Acts 16, verses 17 through 18.
She had a devil running around praising the men who were preaching the gospel. And this lady, I could just tell there's something wrong there.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5:14.
And I'll apologize for it. Because when I'm dealing with somebody who has got a devil, or at least in their words appear to, I'm going to deal with them the way I'm taught to.
These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Titus 2:15.
You see, what most people want you to do is not imitate Jesus. They want you to imitate them. And that's what I was getting from this lady. I said, listen, I want, and I wouldn't say this to everybody, don't get me wrong, but I just knew there was something wrong. And I said, lady, you are the reason our churches are dying. You are coming after the preacher as he is trying to deal with people. And you are not wanting that preacher to act like Jesus Christ. You are not wanting that preacher to act like the examples of the apostles. You're wanting the preacher to act like a politician. You're wanting your preacher to act like you think they should act, and not the way the Lord thinks they should act.
Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10.
I said, it's people like you that are killing churches. Of course, the preacher bears the blame too, because he ought to stand his ground and tell her to take a hike.
After their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3.
Came back a little bit later and thought, I'm going to do a little investigation on this. I won't go through the whole thing, but then I found out where this woman was coming from. She's a believer in universal salvation. She calls herself a Christian, but she believes everybody's already saved. Jesus died and paid for all sin, therefore everyone's saved. Therefore, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. You can live like you want to. Doesn't even matter if you profess to be a Christian. You're saved.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1.
You better watch. I'm just telling you as an example, folks. When people don't want you to take a stand for morality, when people don't want you to stand against the murder of these unborn children, when people don't want you to stand against the sodomites, when people don't want you to stand for what's right, they have an agenda, and it's not God's book. It's not God's word. It's the spirit of the age.
The separation of the nation of the church.